If you have your Bible with you this morning, please open it to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 16. In 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 16, we read these precious words, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." The dead in Christ shall rise. One of the basic fundamental doctrines of our Christian faith is that of resurrection from the dead. This past Tuesday, here in this auditorium, we had the funeral of our dear sister in the Lord, who has gone to be with Christ. Ruth Fox died in the faith. We took her out that afternoon and buried her body out here at Glen Abbey, where her body will rest until the trump of God sounds and the dead in Christ are raised. But we believe in resurrection. I want to speak this morning about four resurrections. First, we have the resurrection of Christ, which we always celebrate on Easter. The resurrection of Christ. Then we believe in the resurrection of the saints. Those of us who are saved, who have been born again. Those who have physically died shall be raised from the dead, just as Jesus was. But let's begin at the beginning. The first resurrection we want to talk about is the resurrection of Christ. For the last hour here in this auditorium, we talked about the first resurrection day, what Jesus did when he came out of the grave. His resurrection is, of course, the first and the most important, because all of the rest of the resurrections are based on his. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, "For if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain." That is, what you believe is nothing. It's vain. You are yet in your sins. Your sins have not been forgiven or washed away. You're yet in your sins. "And they also which are fallen asleep in Christ," all of our loved ones who have died, "are perished if Christ be not raised from the dead." In Matthew 27, verse 63, Jesus had promised, "After 3 days, I will rise again." In Mark 8:31, he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again." On the day of Pentecost, we read about it in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached about Jesus. He says, "Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." That same Jesus who died and was buried and rose again and ascended back into heaven is coming again. In Acts chapter 1, when he ascended, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight, the scripture says. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, whom you've seen taken up into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. And in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, behold, he cometh with clouds. Jesus is coming again. Paul emphasized the importance of our belief in the resurrection when he wrote in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 these words, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what it takes to be saved, a belief that Jesus died, was buried, and rose from the dead the third day. That's the resurrection of Jesus. Now, most people skip this next one. It's very important, but we're going to spend some time on it. And they go to the resurrection of the saints that we read about in our text. But there's a resurrection in between the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of the saints who have died in the faith. And that is the spiritual resurrection of sinners that takes place even today. A spiritual resurrection. Did you know that when a sinner, an unbeliever, believes on and accepts Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, he is at the same time born again. Amen. And it's called a resurrection from the dead. Now, Jesus was speaking of this type of resurrection when he said in John 5:21, For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them. Remember this word, quickeneth. Even so the Son, that's Jesus, quickeneth whom he will. Now that word quickeneth means to make alive, to cause to live, which to me is resurrection. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, And you, speaking to believers, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. That's the spiritual resurrection. Dead in trespasses and in sins, now we are quickened. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, If ye then be risen in Christ, seek those things which are above. Now, I can remember back in the early part of the year 1940. Boy, that's a stretch of the imagination, isn't it? I was dead spiritually. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I heard the gospel message preached, and I acknowledged my sins before God, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And at that very moment, I was forgiven of all of my sins. I was cleansed from all of my sins. I was made alive. I was born again. I was quickened. I was resurrected from my dead state. Resurrected from the dead. Now, That was Paul's experience. He writes about it in Romans chapter 7. And here he tells us, without the law, that's the law of Moses, thou shalt not, you know. Without the law, sin was dead. Sin was dead. And without the law, I was alive. But when the commandment came, that's the law, sin, which he'd said had been dead, sin revived. And sin, now revived, taking occasion of the commandment, that is, taking advantage of the law and using the law, sin deceived me, and by it, by the law, slew me, and I died. Now, he didn't die physically. He died spiritually. He said, I died. And then after his experience in Acts chapter 9, when Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, after he is saved, he said in Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He'd been resurrected from the dead. He who had been dead in sin is now dead to sin because he's been quickened by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the resurrection that Jesus speaks about in John chapter 11 when he speaks of those who were dead in their trespasses and in their sins. He said to them, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead in trespasses and in sins, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now, I like those three little words right there. Shall never die. That means that I will never die. Now listen, my soul and my spirit will one of these days move out of this body. And everybody will say, he's dead. The body is dead. The body has no life. The body will go back to the dust from whence it came. But my soul, which has been born again through faith in Jesus Christ, shall never die. Listen. Every spiritual resurrection is a work of God. It's a miracle. When you got saved, it was a miracle of God. It was just, that resurrection was just as real as any physical resurrection that will take place when our bodies are raised from the grave. In fact, if we have not been spiritually resurrected, then we will not be physically resurrected in the last day when Jesus comes and the trump of God sounds. Can you imagine? You die, your body is out there in the cemetery, and the trump of God sounds, but you don't come out. You don't come out of the grave. Why? Because you were never spiritually resurrected. You must be spiritually resurrected before you can be physically resurrected. Now, let's talk about the resurrection of the saints that we read about here. Our future resurrection is tied to and it's based on and it's assured by His resurrection. Did not Jesus say, because I live, you shall live also? If He's not alive, then we'll not live. But Jesus is alive. And because I live, you shall live also, He tells us. He tells us, for if we believe, believe what? That Jesus died. Do you believe that Jesus died? History tells us that. The Bible confirms it, that Jesus died. And He says that if Jesus died, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Oh, I would challenge you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, especially verses 12 through 22. We preached on that a couple of Sundays ago. What kind of body will we have when we are resurrected? He talks in verse 42, raised in incorruption. In verse 43, raised in glory. Also in verse 43, raised in power. And in verse 44, raised a spiritual body. That's the resurrection. My, what a blessed hope that we have in these days of death and bereavement. What an anchor for our souls when we are nearing the finish line. What a comfort when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death to know that Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. And then there's the fourth resurrection. Those who believe in the resurrection of Christ, those who believe in Christ in the world today, are in a minority. That means that the majority of the 7 billions of people on the face of the earth today do not believe this. But Jesus speaks of the resurrection of the lost. Most all of the people that think that, well, when I die, that's all of it. You know, I'll just go to sleep, period, and that's going to be it. But the Bible says that at the time of death, at the time of death, the soul of the saved go to heaven to be with the Lord. The soul of the unsaved, the unbelievers, those who have never been believed on the Lord Jesus Christ or accepted Him, will go to hell. Now, there's not too much preaching today about hell. A lot of people don't believe in it. They don't believe in the hereafter. But whether they believe in it or not makes it no less so. God says there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Listen to Acts chapter 24 and verse 15. There shall be a resurrection of the dead, both the just and the unjust. Those who have been justified by faith in Jesus Christ and those who have not. they're going to face God too. Every once in a while, someone will become so distraught and so distressed over their condition in this world today. Maybe they're suffering pain and heartaches and things like this that the rest of the world cannot identify with. And they'll take a handful of pills and take their own life, or they'll take a gun and shoot themselves or something like that. I want it to be all over. All over. You think you're having a hard time now? You wait until you die without God. You wait until you wake up in hell. You wait until you're in torment. You wait until you're called before God in judgment. Because every man will face God in judgment. Even those who don't believe in him will stand before him in judgment. We're told in Revelation that after the rapture and the first resurrection of the dead, he says the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Out here in the cemetery, all of those that are saved will be resurrected when the trump of God sounds. But all of those who are not saved, those graves will remain undisturbed. And they will continue so for 1,000 years. But at the end of the 1,000 years, there's going to be another resurrection. A resurrection of those who missed the first one. Listen to the scriptures. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You think the first death is something? Wait until you face the second one. You haven't seen anything yet. Now these two resurrections were spoken of by Christ in John chapter 5. Listen to this. He says the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves. Think that's the end of it? No. All that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Not necessarily at the same time. He didn't say that. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So there is a resurrection of life, Jesus says, and a resurrection of damnation. Daniel told us in chapter 12 and verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So these are the four resurrections. Now I want you to notice the interrelation of them. Because of resurrection number one, which is the resurrection of Christ, resurrection number two, the resurrection of the spiritually dead, is possible. And also resurrection number three, the resurrection of the saints, is also possible. All because of the resurrection of Christ. But if you're unsaved today, the first thing you need to be concerned about is your spiritual resurrection. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never placed your faith and trust in Him as your Lord, you need this spiritual resurrection, because the Bible says you are dead in your trespasses and sins. And if you've never been born again and have never established a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're lost and need to be saved. And when you get saved, you won't have to worry about that resurrection of the unjust. You won't have to worry about that resurrection of damnation. You won't have to worry about that resurrection to shame and everlasting contempt. You won't have to worry about that great white throne judgment or hell or spending eternity in the torment of the lake of fire, because Jesus saves you from that. And he will give you the assurance of resurrection in incorruption, in glory, in power, and of a spiritual body. And it's free. And you and I have a choice. That's it. We have a choice. We can choose Jesus and go to heaven when we die and spend eternity with Him, or we can reject Jesus Christ and go to hell when we die and spend eternity with the devil in torment. Now you see, in my feeble little old mind, I can't understand why anybody wouldn't want to be saved, wouldn't rather go to heaven when they die. I can't understand why a person would say, no, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe that he was the Son of God. I don't believe that He died on the cross. I don't believe that He rose from the dead. I don't believe that He's coming again. I don't understand how a person can say that. But there are millions of people that do. They say no to Christ. When Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll give you eternal life. He said, I'm the door. By me, if any man will enter in, he shall be saved. There's no other door. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful this morning that Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Son of God, loved us and gave Himself for us, died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. We're thankful today that He rose from the dead the third day. And we're thankful that He went back to heaven to sit down at Your right hand, waiting until the trumpet sounds to bring us up to Himself. We thank You for that, Lord. There may be one in this congregation, even if there's just one, that has never accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Today we want to give them the opportunity to be saved. So Father, let Your Holy Spirit today take the word that we've preached and bring conviction upon their hearts and show them the love of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank You for that great love. Thank You for Your grace that saves us, in Jesus' name. Amen. What's our invitation?
Number 487.
As we sing a verse of this invitation today, before we leave this auditorium today, make sure in your heart that you have the right relationship with Christ in your heart. You can go out saved, or you can go out lost. One or the other. I hope you will choose Jesus today. In your heart. Will you come today? Only trust Him. That's all you have to do. The attention you gave to the preaching of the word this morning. Hope that we've said something that will stay with you and stir your hearts, bring you closer to the Lord.